Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Deep Dive with me, Stephen Chia. Now today we're talking about something that, especially in Singapore, we all love. It's food, that's right. But more specifically, I want you to go back to the years when you were in school. Think of your childhood memories and what kind of food do you remember from your primary school canteen? That's right, starting January next year, 13 primary and secondary schools will switch to a central kitchen model. This is not surprising, given the growing shortage of school canteen stallholders. But what it means is the food, well, maybe it'll be pre-ordered, and maybe this is the way to go for the future of school meals. But what kind of impact will this have on our kids? What kind of experience will it be for them? What will they be missing out on that, you know, makes that uniquely Singaporean canteen experience we all grew up with? So today we tried to invite the caterers who will be managing the central kitchen to come on our podcast, but all of them declined. So in the studio today, we have Ben Airy from Victor's Catering. They cater for international schools here in Singapore.
That's right. Yeah. Thanks, Stephen. Thanks for having us.
And Raina Tan, a canteen stallholder at Mito School.
Yeah.
Guys, welcome, welcome. So, okay, let me get your quick reactions first. And maybe, Raina, from you, because you actually manage a stall in a primary school, right?
Yeah.
When you first heard about this, what came to mind? Were you thinking like, yep, it was just a matter of time, or...
I think it was both sort of reactions, yeah, because I've heard of schools where out of 8 stalls, maybe only 2 or 3 stalls are open. And so that's kind of like, yeah, a matter of time, because it's unsustainable as well. But on the other hand, it was also like it felt like a pity, yeah, because as you mentioned, I think like school canteens in Singapore is a very uniquely Singaporean culture.
Right.
Yeah, and we're already like losing our hawker culture. So are we also going to lose the school canteen culture as well?
Okay. Yeah, so we're going to dive into that a bit more. I mean, just quick, susses out your school right now. How many stalls are there in canteen stalls?
So we have 10 stalls.
Are they all open?
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, there's 1 drinks, 1 dessert, and then the other 8 are food stalls, okay. And they're all open.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's good. That's good. That's quite a lot of variety. So, Ben, you guys do catering for schools, which means, and you're telling me earlier from preschool, elementary, high school, and these are international schools, right? So, you operate out of a central kitchen, and then you bring the food, I guess, each day to these locations. How does that model work? Do they have to pre-order? I mean, can they get it on site? What's it like?
That's right, Stephen. So we produce in one of our licensed kitchens from a pre-order menu that we put together as a team. Basically, we have a culinary department and then we seek advice from nutritionists when we need to. Parents can pre-order up to basically 2 months in advance.
2 months in advance?
Yeah.
Wow.
But we actually prepare it fresh on the day and we deliver it hot to these schools.
How many options do they have for, let's say, on Monday? Will there be out of, you know...
Three and five.
Between
3 and 5 options.
Depending
on the school, depending on the budget, actually.
Okay, and yeah, give us an indication. What's the budget like?
For an international school, it's a bit higher, I think, than what you're working with in a local school. I think we're looking around the $6 to $9 mark these days.
For each meal. Which would consist of...
It's a full set meal, as advised by a nutritionist. So we've got some carbohydrates, we've got vegetables, and we've got a protein, whether that's meat or whether that's a vegetarian alternative. Yeah, it's a full set.
Okay, it doesn't include a drink. Okay, I'm thinking of fast food. That's where, you know, I think of those. But
I think we're still under fast food.
Okay, and then Raina, I mean, you run a vegetarian stall, right?
Yes.
In a primary school?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just saying that seems very brave of you, right? Do the primary school kids?
I mean, there's something that I want to kind of get into. I want to interact more with kids, and that's one of the reasons why I chose primary school.
But again, vegetarian food, I mean, I thought you wanted to bring them to your stall, right? Not scare them away. What made you decide to do this?
Okay, honestly, the vegetarian stall only came about because that was the only vacancy that's available. When I was looking up different canteen stalls in my area, in Punggol area, there was the only, Mito School was the only one, and vegetarian stall was the only option. I mean, okay, there was halal noodles.
Right.
But it's a little bit hard. I mean, the halal set and everything. So I decided on the vegetarian stall.
And prior to this, did you have any experience in F&B? Were you a chef somewhere?
The only experience I had in F&B would be like waitering, working in restaurants, fast food. Yeah, not any full-time experience.
Okay, wow. And how long have you had the stall?
I've had it for about 2 months now.
Oh, 2 months. Okay. Oh, wow. So it really is the beginning. And what are the challenges you face nowadays?
So I think one of the concerns that was mentioned is that the concern of having too much food, like food wastage, right? And that's something, that's actually a concern that I face as well. It is difficult to determine or estimate how much to cook each day. So I usually either have it like too much or too little. Yeah, and when it's too little, I mean, at least I can just cook it up on the spot. I mean, the students have to wait a while, but I'm going to cook it up on the spot. But there are many factors that affect a child's appetite.
Yeah.
Whether it is, they're not feeling well the day, whether it is the weather even. So we've noticed that when it rains, students eat more. Or more students eat. Yeah, so because instead of like going out to the field to play and skipping recess, they eat. Yeah, so there's many, many factors that come along with that. And so that's one of the challenges that I do face.
Of course, trying to figure out how many kids are going to eat on each day is a monumental task. I mean, let's talk about the broad strokes and the pros and cons of each system. So, Ben, from a caterer's point of view, what are the advantages of having a central kitchen? And for schools also, from their point of view, what are the advantages of working with someone like you guys?
I think consistency and safety are pretty important to a school. I think that's something that, I mean, I've seen recently that the MOE's looking to centralise facilities management as well, coming soon. I think central management of your soft services is quite important to our school partners, and knowing that they can rely on us to deliver a total solution for their school in terms of the food offering, the food service. So I think we're kind of in between the two systems, strangely. And actually, we have two schools where we have an on-site canteen, where we actually cook on-site. We don't have a central kitchen. And in those, we run all the... So they're not stalls, but they're different concepts.
Okay.
And so in those, basically, they can rely on us as a food partner to deliver a food offering at a certain standard. And that's in our contract, and it's something we pledge to meet every day, something we're always working on. And I think in terms of consistency and then knowing that we're complying with SFA rules, it's useful for them to know.
So, this concept you're mentioning, it basically means I'm thinking of IKEA, you know, when we go there and eat, you know, but basically I walk in a line and there are different food options available, whether it's Indian or Chinese or whatever
kind. Right. That's right.
But they're all from the same caterer.
Yeah.
And that's what you offer. And, and would they pay one flat price, or did they pay for each dish differently?
So we have a set price around the $7, $7.50 mark.
Depending on what you choose.
Depending on what you choose. That normally, again, consists of a rice, a potato, a pasta, some meat or vegetarian protein, and a full portion of vegetables.
Okay.
Certain dishes come with a side of fruit. So this is all designed basically to give the children what they require while still allowing us to play with the concepts and play with the menus to deliver something that's attractive. I think that's also been a concern and a con with this central kitchen model that people have been expressing, is that it's possibly taking away some of the choice from the children.
Yeah,
it's not
a
full scope of a canteen anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I guess coming back to the canteen, I mean, same thing. If you had 10 stalls but only two were open, then it's kind of almost the same thing as if, you know, because you don't have that choice of food. And is this the concern too? Because it's hard to get new operators to open stalls in school canteens, right?
Yeah, it is. I mean, we face a variety of challenges. And I would think that one of the biggest challenges would be price point or profit margins.
Okay.
Yeah, so I mean, we hear that other caterers can do a higher price or they have a higher budget.
I mean, of course, we know. The few times I visit a school and you eat there, you're like, wow, it only costs $2, you know.
Yeah.
But give us some idea of a typical meal, how much it costs, and how, what's your profit, and, you know, like...
Yeah, so, I mean, similarly to Victor's, we also provide like a holistic meal. So we do have to follow the HPB healthy plate guidelines. Mm-hmm, so that means like two servings of carbs, two servings of vegetables, fruits, and protein. And that will be one set. And so different schools fix their prices differently. So for my school, it is $2 and then $2.50 for a larger portion.
Okay.
So most students just go for...
There's nothing more expensive than $2.50.
I mean, unless you do add-ons.
Okay.
Yeah, but that is the base, like $2, yeah. And I've heard of schools that their base price is even lower. So I've heard of $180, $160. And so that is mainly where the struggle is at.
Okay. But we also know that the rent you pay in the schools is very low as well, like something like what? I mean, $5 to $15,
depending on the size of the school.
Okay, so one would say you can still make money from that. Is that true?
It is true that you can make money. I mean, it's not difficult to make a profit But the question is how much of a profit and whether that profit is sustainable, whether that profit is viable.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, so it is true that there is a low rental, but everything else we do have to pay either market price or higher than market price.
What do you mean by pay market price?
For example, utilities. Yeah. I mean, that is market price.
Okay.
Right? And for example, for the cost of ingredients, because we have to meet the healthy plate guidelines, for example, whole grains. Whole grains and healthier choice symbols, labels, products with healthier choice labels. Yeah. So these products are usually more expensive than the average market. I mean, the average.
And when you say market price, you're just going to the normal supermarket
And
buying
it. Because we do not, I mean, each person can only apply for one store, so we don't get the economies of scale as well. So it is hard to find suppliers as well when you only, I mean, when your quantity is limited.
Okay, which is something, of course, a caterer can do. They work out the economies of scale to buy in bulk, right?
Yeah, so I think we've just added a procurement executive to our team. She's doing a fantastic job negotiating with our suppliers and I think giving us the economy of scale and the buying power to push our prices down. I think we've kept our prices static for, I think it's now coming up to 6 years.
Oh, okay,
So I think comparing ourselves to what you could buy in the market, I think we come out pretty fairly. Maybe not against you, but certainly against what you can find in town.
Do you guys have to pay rent?
We have to pay rent. I can't disclose exactly.
Okay, but much higher than the $15 a month?
Absolutely. $15 a month, we'd love to do that. And I think, Rainer, you run your stall alone, right?
Yeah, I do.
I think we carry a lot of manpower to make our full service possible.
Yeah, I mean, I do run it alone, but there are stores that hire people, and that's where it gets tricky as well, because you can only hire Singaporeans or PRs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then it's also tricky to only hire for limited hours. Yeah, like the operating hours. Yeah, so then even though there's an option, it is a difficult option to take as well.
How many meals do you cater for in the school? Because primary school, nowadays school is only half a day, right?
Yeah, so we cater for recess, and sometimes we cater for lunch. Yeah,
okay.
So whenever the students have like remedials or CCA exams, things like
that. Right, but it's basically only two meals in a day, right?
Yeah, only two meals.
Okay, and recess is quite short, I mean. So basically you have one window, I don't know, how long is it, 20 minutes,
so
half an
hour? So recess is half an hour, and then there's three batches. So that's like one and a half hours.
Okay. And so would you mind sharing, like, so what would your profit be like on an average month? Give us a range.
Well, that's a tricky question, yeah. But my profit would be around the 2,000 mark, slightly under, slightly above, depending on the month. Yeah, but that the range is.
And then, of course, during the school holidays, what happens?
Yeah. During school holidays, we're closed. I mean, full stop. Yeah, so during June holidays, December holidays, September, March, I mean, they don't charge us the rent, which is great. But on the other hand, there's no other way to make a profit from, I mean, there's no other way to, to do business from the store.
So in a way, well, I'm just thinking, if I were in your shoes, I would almost need another business somewhere on the outside to help me sustain during those other months when the school is closed.
I would think that one of the reasons why most of the store operators are retirees is because during those months they just take a break.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe they because for example, I mean, if you are a retiree and you have grandkids, then that's perfect, right? Because your grandkids are out of school as well, and you are at home to take care of them. Yeah, but for the normal working adult, yeah, you definitely have to find other sources of income.
Okay. So let's move on talk about, you know, things like food safety. Because Ben, you're mentioning how, you know, I guess with the central kitchen, you can kind of control what is going out there. But again, at the same time, if a child, you know, picks up the meal and then decides to leave it on the desk while he goes to play football, comes back 20 minutes later. I mean, are there any concerns in terms of how you can safeguard what is being put out there to make sure the meals, you know, what do you do to try and ensure that the meals stay fresh and don't spoil too easily?
I think we cook fresh every day on site using fresh ingredients. I think that's an important thing for us. It's an important principle to stick by. In terms of your example, if a kid leaves it on the table for 20 minutes, I think no matter whether it's a central kitchen or a canteen, it's going to spoil.
But do you avoid cooking like curries, you know, I'm sure it doesn't have any cream or coconut milk, things like that, you know?
No, we're not held to the healthy dining principles. Yep. I think we're quite lucky in that we comply with what we need to comply with for our partners.
Okay.
But certain principles we don't stick by.
Okay.
I think in our market, it's not necessary.
In other words, the guidelines for the kind of food you prepare is different because of international school. But what's a typical process like? How many hours does it before it gets to the school and before it's consumed?
I would say we set off under, I think, 2 hours before service is the latest point.
2 hours before
service. It's served to a child.
So what does that mean? So if I'm getting my food at 10 a.m., you cooked it, you finished cooking it at 8 a.m.
At 8, and it's staying hot and above the holding temperature as specified by the SFA at all times.
So as that's in the critical. Way it's transported, it's through a...
It's all regulated, yeah. Okay. One thing that was interesting in the article that I read about the program in MOE schools is that I can't remember which of the three vendors is going to hold it for 6 hours at hot temperatures.
Does that surprise you?
That does surprise us.
Why?
That's way beyond our holding time.
And why is that not such a good idea?
Even for a buffet in Singapore, 4 hours is the absolute hard deadline. So it was quite surprising to read that. 6 hours
will the
committed.
Food spoil? Is there a chance that the food could go off?
Certain ingredients. Yeah. I think we've had we've all had bad experiences with tauge. Tauge going off in heat.
Yeah, I think like the longer the duration of holding, the more the bacteria multiplies.
Correct.
Yeah, so that would probably be one of the biggest concerns.
But of course, from the caterer's point of view, I mean, they need the time to, you know, get it ready, get it transported to the school, serve it, have it there. So the longer the period, the window, the better it is for them. Otherwise, I mean, I think we have it like 4 hours when we order from a caterer, then they
it's
have to ditch it.
It's 4 hours generally.
That.
We stick to 4 hours as well. So 6 hours was a surprising number.
What about food wastage? You were saying that as a concern as well. I mean, does a central kitchen make it less?
Honestly, I wouldn't think so. I mean, the central kitchen that I have had experience with, and I think many people have, would be the ones in the army.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
I mean, every Singapore son, right? Yeah.
So we were hungry. We didn't waste much food. Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Okay,
I
mean, maybe my time. You know, your time. You guys have better food.
I mean, in army, even with like indentation, so you have specific number of people that you cook for.
That's right.
I mean, we see wastage every day. Yeah, and which allows people to get second portions, but on the other hand, yeah, that's wastage. And it doesn't only talk. I mean, we're not only referring to wastage when it comes to meals that are not served, but meals that are served. People do not like they are picky. They do not eat certain things. That is very common in the army, and I would imagine that will be even more common in a primary school.
And to be fair, people want to have a choice over what they eat. So that's the other concern, that if I come and get it from a central kitchen, I have less choice. I can't say, uncle, no vegetables, more fish balls, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah, so I mean, inevitably, there will still be wastage. So, I mean, that's not going to go away no matter what you do.
Correct me if I'm wrong, is it? It's entirely pre-ordered, right? It's all free pre-orders, no...
Yeah.
On that front, then, yeah, I think the only wastage would be if the food's not very tasty.
And they don't eat it.
If they don't eat it, then I think we've all experienced it with small kids, I think, that if a child doesn't want to eat something, it doesn't matter.
What about you guys, the elementary school per se? I mean, is there more wastage than in high school? Or the secondary school? No? You don't think so?
No, because I think choice inevitably leads to more waste.
Are younger kids more picky with the...
No. No, because I think in our market, our parents... do spend a lot of time on our online system. I know because I manage the system and I can see how many minutes they spend on our system reading all the and then writing us emails, getting
so
angry about
case,
stuff.
So in your case also is the parents choosing the meal for the kids.
Absolutely.
So I choose what I think will be good for my kids.
Yeah, and there's always a disconnect there because what mum wants, maybe
the
daughter
kid
doesn't
wants fried
want,
chicken
no.
and I'm going to give you baked chicken maybe, of you course. Know, right?
But in terms of actual food sold, that might increase the amount. We've seen that as well. And we've offered parents the choice to choose for their child. Actually, the sales go up.
Does that take away some of the independence of the kids?
Yeah, I would definitely think so. I mean, not just the independence in autonomy when it comes to choosing what you want to eat, but especially like the social interaction between that. Yeah, between a kid and a canteen store owner. I would think that that's probably their first few times in their lives where they get to interact with strangers, where they get to learn how to handle money, where they get to learn how to like do financial. I mean, be financially independent in a sense, right? Do I want to save money for a drink? Do I want to save money to buy cards? Yeah, so I would think that that kind of takes away quite a lot of autonomy from the child.
Okay. I remember, negotiation skills as well. Like, I used to, the fried chicken was the most popular. So some of those life skills, in a way, will kind of be lost. But at the same time, they learn a sense of responsibility that I guess they have to, well, if they get something, they have to kind of eat it and try and, you know, finish it. Do you find that as the case too, that in terms of the kids, do they, I mean, if they get the food, they leave it there, they don't eat it, they ditch it, or it gets spoiled. I mean, and something happens. They eat it half an hour later, and it has gone off, but the kid has not known. He goes home, he gets sick. Does that come back to you?
We're fortunate that our schools are pretty much dead set. There's 1 hour to eat. If it doesn't get eaten by that period, they throw it in the bin. And I think, I would hope that in this new model for MOE schools, it's going to be the same. that there is a strict amount of time that you can leave a hot meal in
And that needs to be the case, you're saying, to be very strict about those timings.
I mean, if you were flying with Singapore Airlines, you wouldn't be able to put your meal in your bag, right? So...
well,
I mean, there's always somebody.
I took the bread roll, I guess.
Bread roll's okay.
But I guess I see what you mean. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So what are the concerns here? What do you feel will be the main, you know, sort of missing point when we switch to this central catering system?
Well, I think some of the concerns we have already mentioned previously, but one would definitely be the culture, like the school canteen culture. And I would think that, I mean, right now it is not mandatory, or it is not where every school is changing over to the central kitchen. But once we make this switch, then it becomes, I mean, I agree that central kitchen is a solution, and it's actually a really easy solution, right? If you're in charge of operating the school, then it is kind of like a no-brainer. If they're able to do it at that price, they're able to do it with variety and with choices and things like that. And if the kids love the food, then sure.
Yeah.
But so my fear would be that more and more schools would just choose this easier option, and then there goes the school canteen.
But yeah, I mean, the culture is gone, but actually the kids end up eating more healthy food. Well, because they have no choice. Maybe if the caterer is forced to be within certain boundaries. And actually, kids don't really know better, in a sense. If I go to a shop and there are only 5 things to choose from, you know, instead of looking at 12 things to choose from.
I mean, I see that the central kitchen is one of the solutions, and it is a good solution. But I do see that there are many other ways that we can take instead of just offering central
kitchens.
What
should we do?
Yeah, so for example, now we are subsidizing rental, right? But obviously that is not enough. I mean, just comparing what the prices that the canteen operators are allowed to sell at with caterers, not even Victor's, but like just the caterers that are signing on, their prices are between $2.20 to $3, which is significantly higher than what we are selling at.
Okay.
Yeah, so allowing canteen owners to raise their prices, that could be an option. Another option could be having a centralized washing. So right now we have to wash our own dishes.
Okay.
And I would think that for maybe the more elderly, for the retirees, that would be the hardest part of the job, which is to wash dishes. Yeah, and I think another concern that we haven't raised is that when it comes to, I mean, I heard that there might be bentos, like especially from the vending machines, right? And when it comes to that, what are we going to, how are we teaching our kids to deal with disposables? How are we teaching our kids to recycle, to plastic waste, things like that? And so that's also one of the restrictions that we have right now, that we're not allowed to use any sort of disposables. We're not allowed to, even when they want to do a takeout, we're not allowed to do that. Yeah, so one option could also be to allow school canteen owners to use disposable cutlery, disposable plates, and then that would take away the burden of washing the dishes.
Okay, so you've offered quite a few options to help improve the system and I guess make it more attractive, because even as a hawker, there's still central washing for all the hawkers out
precisely.
There. So, okay, so I think that's something to think about. Ben, any last words? I mean, you know, how do you think this is going to play out? Is this going to become competition for you guys, or does this mean more opportunities for you?
It's opportunity, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as it's basically a change of culture, a deep change in culture, I think it's something we're seeing across the country. I mean, as you're saying, hawker centres are thinning out. I think the rents are becoming what they are.
Okay.
I think in our business we see that the manpower situation is not improving, and I think, I mean, as you say, it is a choice that can be made to hire someone else, but where is that person?
Yeah.
And actually, as people get pushed out of their canteen stalls at schools, are they going to go to a Kopitiam? Are they going to? I wouldn't think so. I think for the retirees you've mentioned, it's probably the end of the line.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I think that's the hard truth of this change.
Okay. Well, I have an idea. We should make the meals free. So incorporate it into the school fees and say you will get one recess and one lunch every day, and it's part of your school fees. And that way, if the food's kind of free in that sense, then you don't have much choice. You just eat what's there, you know, and after a while...
It's a model that some European countries have employed, and we've seen it work successfully in some of the international schools we haven't been successful at attracting, it is successful in some countries.
Okay. You know why? We have too much good food in Singapore, so we know there's a plethora of food out there. I'm not going to just settle for 5 dishes, you know?
And I think in the real terms as well, a lot of the children who maybe won't like this offering, or maybe really will, they're always entitled to go to McDonald's at the end of the day, right?
Or just bring your own food to school. Bring your own food to school, right?
Just
put a microwave in the school. What do you think that'll work? And allow people to bring their own food?
That's possible.
Okay.
Yeah, the queue for the microwave might be long. I mean, with the central kitchen coming in.
Okay. Yeah, maybe more than one microwave, you know?
I mean, instant hot pot.
Okay. All right, guys. Yeah. Well, thanks so much for coming in, sharing your thoughts with us. And of course, you know, this is something that's going to be kicking out next year in school. So if you have young children and you have thoughts on this, feel free to drop us a note and let us know what you think. On that note, shout out to my team, Tiffany Ang, Junaini Johari, Joanne Chan, Ho Peining, Nat Fetovero, Alison Jenner. And video is by Samuel Sapari. So thanks for joining us. See you next week. Bye-bye.